risk it all for a night. They want Chanel in a flight. They want a ball for a night. She just want a nigga out the plane. She know I'ma put on a plane. Yeah, now looking at the one and only. They was trying to front on me. Threw the bags in the front of it. Backing out valet, hit the horn on it. Had rollers, for I knew my worth. True hustle, never sleep through the first and third. Lord forgive me, we was trapping outside of church. Mama trying to hit a word, I was pitching worse than it.
Hey, welcome back to the Jazzy Motherfucking Comedy Show. I have a very beautiful guest, inside and out. She is literally one of the most hilarious women walking the planet today. Jonae the Queen in the building at the motherfucking Jazzy Comedy Show. She just wanna do it for the game. She just wanna put on for the game. She just want a nigga from the plane. She know I'ma put on. Y'all are in for a treat. You have no idea. This woman is classy. She is funny. She is beautiful. She is strong. She got stories. She got experiences. She's been all over the world. And I know most of you motherfuckers ain't been outside of 15 miles from your bedroom. And that's okay. You know, we go where we can afford to go. I can't afford to go nowhere. That's why I'm doing a radio show. You feel me? So I talk to beautiful people like Jonae, who does travel the world, and put motherfuckers like me on some shit. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know what's going on in Thailand or China or Brazil, or I don't even know what's going on in San Leandro, and it's right down the street because I can't afford to go shopping that motherfucker. Y'all know how it is. Y'all want to donate some money to the Jazzy Comedy Show, y'all can hit the line at Cash App, $ Jazzy Comedy Show, and maybe I can afford some toilet paper in the next cycle of the COVID-19 experience we're all enjoying in 2021. I really hope y'all enjoyed the show that we're going to have today. I know I'm going to enjoy it because, like I said, Jonae the Queen is a comedian. And I'm going to say Jonae the Queen multiple times during the show because, first of all, she's a queen, a beautiful sister, like our vice president, like Shirley Chisholm, the first woman to run for president, like the beautiful Queen Michelle Obama. I need y'all to understand the circle that we talking and we dealing with right here on the Jazzy Comedy Show. This ain't no regular motherfucking guest. She's bound to have a Netflix special before the end of 2021. And y'all heard it first here on the motherfucking Jazzy Comedy Show. So get your insights on, get your laughs on. Check out her Instagram at Jonae the Queen. And if she break down where y'all can donate some money to her, y'all better open up them checkbooks because y'all need to support people when they first start the ship. You feel me? A lot of people want to jump on the ship once the ship went sailing, and we already 300-400 miles into sea. Motherfucker, you gonna die trying to catch up. So just jump on while we going now. Welcome to the show, my beautiful, beautiful sister, Jonae the Queen in the building.
What's up, JC? Thank you for the lovely introduction. I receive all of that. Yes, the affirmations, the manifestations, the good vibrations. Hey. Thank you.
Praise appreciate the Most High. You. Man, you know, you just got to, some people got to see, and I know everybody ain't got eyes to see, but when I see, I like to share what I see, because I think that's the blessing. You feel
I appreciate
me?
That. Man, I really do.
It's all good. It's all good. So what's good with you? I mean, let me be honest. When we met, we was both fucking children. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Like, we had a lot more levels to grow, right, before we got here.
Yeah. Shoot, we met... What was that, 2007 or 8? No, it had to be like...
8, I think.
08, 09. Yeah. Somewhere around it.
Yeah.
Because I was just starting comedy, I remember, and y'all... It was you and a crew. Shout out to Trevante and Nick. I remember y'all was hella cool. Monkey y'all were my neighbors, Trevante. But I was y'all resident advisor, too. I was your RA.
She was the popo, y'all. She was the popo coming in, harassing us, looking through our clothes and shit, throwing away our little nickel bags.
I didn't do all that.
We were so poor. All we had was nickel bags. She was like, I can't even call the police on this bullshit.
But, you know, I was the type, I was like, if I were a cop, I would be like the fair warning type of cop. Like, I would always hit y'all with the like, hey, yo, knock, knock. I could smell the weed. You might want to like put it out because, you know, if I could smell it 9 times out of 10, somebody gonna call. And, you know, to see some police gonna show up. So I felt like I was like that. But I also felt like I smoked with y'all a few times too. So that's the weird part. Did I smoke with y'all? Like,
I believe
when
so.
I was your RA or I after?
Believe so. I know, I believe.
Allegedly,
you smoked with us when you was a RA and after. And allegedly, you did warn us multiple times. And, you know, we were covered. And I'm going to just say good looking out. You feel me? Like
allegedly. Allegedly.
If this did happen, I know you would have been the type that was looking out. That's all I'm saying. Like, kind of like, know, Angela Bassett on 911 or something.
Exactly. Period. Period. You know?
I
but
love
yes.
It.
So yes, we have an origin story. So we going on a decade. I mean, we getting old. We met in our 20s. Now we in our 30s.
Bruh, people I met you with family. Hair. I don't have hair.
Yeah, you don't got hair no more?
Oh, my God. I mean, I got like an Ethiopian balding thing going on. So like the back of my hair is good, but the front of the hair, I definitely, you can see the corners like the moon. You know what I'm saying?
It looked like it's like a little mohawk. That's what I thought.
Thank
it
you.
Was.
Yep. A natural mohawk going on, you know, the full God given mohawk.
You know?
The frohawk, call it the pyramid at the top of my head, you know.
Right. Shining on. You know what I mean?
Uncle Phil shining, though. Rest in peace.
What'd you say?
I said shining like Uncle Phil forehead in The Fresh Prince. Rest in peace.
Man. Oh, yeah. R.I.P. James Avery.
James Avery, yeah. Father to all of us, cool. For real. So, yeah, Trevante always remind me, though, John, that he was like, yo, we went to John A's first comedy show. And honestly, it always blows my mind when he contextualizes it like that, because I remember the show, but I'm always like, that was her first show? Who you lying to, bro? I thought she'd been doing this since she was like 11, 12 years old. You know what I'm saying? So,
yo, that's, yeah. I'm like, I don't know if it was the exact first show. It could have been the same. It was one of my very early shows. It was when I had to bring hella people. Yeah. So I was really trying to slang tickets like yo. Crack, huh? Like, just to get on stage, I had to have like 10 people, you know? Yeah. But it was cool. I think it's a great part of the journey. Mm-hmm. It teaches you how to be a few things, you know? You're now learning promotional skills, marketing, you know, things that, and you kind of, you get to learn how the bread works a little bit. Now you start seeing like, wait a minute, you know,
yeah, that
if they
part.
Pay this much, and then if it's a 2-drink minimum, and then, you know, people pay X amount to park, like you start kind of calculating. And then, you know, that inspired me to start producing my own shows.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know if you remember, I would produce shows at CSUN while I was a student. Mm-hmm. And after, but
and getting paid,
it was yeah. And you know, to be honest, I wasn't really making money, but I wanted to get the other comedians paid, if that makes sense. Like, because of me being a student, just to be candid with you, the first few years it was you know, it was like, you can't really do that. I had to fight. You know, I had to do a Monique. I had to be like, no.
Hey, shout out to Monique.
Hold on. You feel me? Like, this is, I started this gangster shit. Let's not forget, you know?
Right.
Like, so.
And you got your comedians paid, though, even when, I mean, that's just a business owner sometimes, all right? Sometimes the money don't come in your pocket, but as long as your people getting paid, the business is good. You feel me?
That's what I felt like the most. Like, that was my purpose in that, you know? Like, to take care of other people.
I love that.
In that. You know, so it was cool, and it helped me to cross promote and now get booked on other shows that, right. You know, it for a new comedian, you needed exposure and connect and a network. So it was a perfect opportunity to do that.
No, I appreciate you sharing a little bit of insight, because that's kind of like, I mean, I had a similar experience out here. I didn't hit the comedy stage. I'm 32 years old on my birthday for the first time, right? So I only been in this game like a year and a half. But I've been on the stage since forever, right? Doing my political speeches, running campaigns, whatever. So I'm not necessarily new to the stage, but comedy was something else. But like you, when I finally started getting a little, you know, the little 15, 20 duckies or whatever to go to be on stage for 5 minutes, I was like, hold up. How many people did you want me to bring? How much did you charge? Yeah. How many people in this motherfucker? Oh, you just walked away with bands, nigga. Like, you got bands. Yeah. And then you did, what, 3 shows tonight? You had an Indian show, a white show, and then this is the diversity show with Negroes?
Oh, man.
Bro, I'm from Detroit. I'm about to rob you.
Yeah. Now, the cool thing, though, the shows I was doing, they did break you off. So, like, we got, you know, a fair share of the tickets. So it was like, I was making a little income.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, look, anytime you get paid for your art, that's like the best feeling in the world. Cause it's like, hold up. I knew I liked this, but you appreciate enough to put some money in my pocket for it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a real motivator. You know what I'm saying?
Right? Yeah. So it was cool.
I said, don't give me a compliment. Cool. Pay me, nigga. That tell me how you feel.
Right. That part. I'm like, exposure. I think I'm good on that one. We good. Yeah. So, we're good on that one. I'm trying to go where the money reside, you know?
Right. Which is a master in itself to be able to make money off your art. So if you can, talk to me a little bit about, because you've been in this game now. You kind of, even though you're a young beauty, you kind of a veteran in the comedy game. You've been in here 10, 12 years strong, working the stage, producing, being in shows, traveling. I mean, can you walk us a little bit through your journey? And you know me, I'm a Cancer. You know, I was born in July, so I be emotional about my shit like Erykah Badu.
Okay.
So I need you to like talk to me about the emotional journey as much as like the progress, the mountains you was climbing, and you know, and then you know those orgasmic moments where you was like, bruh, that shit right there though, yeah, that's what made me be like, yo, I need this shit again. You know what I'm saying? Just walk me through a little bit of that if you don't mind.
Yeah, so for me, the journey started actually, I was introduced to it at CSUN. There was a comedy competition for Jimmy Kimmel, and it was regional, and the California one was on our campus. Mm-hmm. So the day of, there was a representative, and she stopped my group of friends and was like, are any ladies funny? Like, we got this competition. There's no girls signed up. Like, we need somebody. So they're all like, whatever. So I'm like, sign me up.
You're still modest. I love it. Go ahead.
I'm like, sign me up. But mind you, I have been seeing this flyer for at least 2 weeks to a month. I was seeing it in the gym. I was seeing it everywhere.
So the universe is already calling to you like, John Day.
Yep. Okay. And even that same day, I walked by that lady, saw the table, and was like, I just, you know. So this time around, I really couldn't get past it. Yeah. There was actual witnesses. So
hold you accountable, like, right. Shit. You gonna pursue what you made to do, girl. It's your time.
You feel me? So I was like, dang, like, you can't just openly disobey God like that. Like, right. God gave you this little gift to make people laugh. Like, you've been doing it since you was in school, little class clown, getting in trouble, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, do it, you know?
And it's a gift. A gift is meant to be shared. Like, you can't keep your gift. That's some selfish shit. You feel me?
It is. So that day, I go home and I call. I knew one comedian. Just off the strength of, like, I was a fan of his and just had his phone number. Mm-hmm. Hit him up, like, hey, Arvin Mitchell, St. Louis, he's hilarious. He was on that show. I think he won. I think it was called Coming to the Stage, the one Lil JJ was on.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm like, hey, Arvin, I'm going to do this comedy competition, like, do you have any advice? And he said a few things, but what stood out, he was like, just talk about what you know. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody can tell you what you don't know isn't funny, you know? So that stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And he was like, all right, so when is the competition? I'm like, oh, it's at, 6 o'clock. He was like, wait, today? He was like, wait. I don't know if I would just, like, you know, he's like, you don't want to take some time? And I was like, I got to go by, you know?
Right. It's time to work.
Yeah, I'm like, I got to do this. So... Mm-hmm. I remember I'm sitting in the auditorium, the show's about to start, and I'm still not sure what I'm going to talk about in these 3 minutes. Like, I got some ideas floating, but I'm like, So I get up there, and I remember I talked about, I had like 3 specific beats. One was, I'm a PK, a preacher's kid. So the first one I talked about was just like, the differences between like black churches and white churches. Very, very elementary, very like whatever. Yeah. You know?
But it also shows that you also, because you're a PK, you're very comfortable being on stage too, because you've probably been on stage since you was 3-4 years old. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it ain't nothing to move a crowd of 1,000 people.
Sing, read announcements, church plays, all that. Listening.
I love it.
I was actually a radio DJ. My dad has a gospel radio station in high school.
That's
I had a little
song.
Hour. Yeah. So or like 2 hours, whatever. But
so this is really your calling. Like, you, if you wouldn't have answered that lady, Jesus might have showed up to your door the next day. Like, John A, John A.
That part. Like, you playing. For real, for real.
Okay.
So the thing is, that contest, I ended up being a runner-up. And wow. The crazy part is, there was another girl who came in from Rhode Island. And she won. So I was happy to see, like, she, you know, she really did this shit, you know? So I'm like, girl, yes.
Yeah.
And, like, really the way I won was the host, shout out to Vargas Mason. He was on Last Comic Standing. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of cruise lines. Just amazing guy, too. But he reached out, like, hey, I produce these shows at the Comedy Store. We'd love to have you on. And I, you know, took his card, stored his number, added him on Facebook, and honestly never thought anything of it again. I'm still not getting JC. Still. I'm over here like, okay, like, I'm a theater major, whatever.
Just to be clear, you performed a 3-minute set for the first time in this competition, called your homie from St. Louis. He gave you some tidbits, but you had nothing scheduled out. You wasn't standing in front of the mirror practicing, and you came in second. And then you just brushed it off like, whatever. Thanks for the master's degree. I'm good.
I was just like, good to know that I could tap into comedic things. Like, that's really what I took it as, you know? Like,
that's a lion in the jungle. That's a lion in the fucking jungle, John Eddie Queen. You just like, oh, yeah, I'm good at that too. Great. What else is new? And just keep moving.
I'm just being honest, JC. I was just like, okay, good to know. Like, in the most humble way. In the most humble way. Like, hey, literally, beautiful. That's how I walked away from the competition.
Hey, respect. And with this
contact to get me into the world famous Comedy Store. I wasn't even like, oh my. Like, I literally was just like, okay. Like, just.
So you want to buy me an apple pie at McDonald's? $2 for $1? Thanks. I might call
right,
you.
Just very like, okay.
Like, so, that's how you treated it, even though he was really like, I'm inviting you to the Comedy Store. You know, Mitzi, Pops, you know, all the legends. Yeah, I think that you're like them, and I see that right now. Okay, girl. That's cool. That's
he
cool.
Literally, yeah, I'll get into that later. So
I'm going to call that. You were John A. the Princess then. That's what that was, some princess shit. Like, yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Maybe the Duchess. Who knows? You know? Somebody in that thing.
I got you.
So, he hits me up maybe 3 to 6 months later and was like, I'm doing this show at the Comedy Store. I would love to have you come out. I sent him an email like, awesome. I would love to come. Can I bring some friends? Mm-hmm. The next thing I know, he's sending me booking details. And I just like, I'm reading. He's like, whoa, no. Like, I don't think he knows. I don't really do comedy like that, you know? And I just remember calling another friend.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Jaz Benberry, he was really into theater as his son. I was like, yo, like this guy, because he was at the contest that night. I'm like, this guy who hosted, like, invited me to do like a 7-minute set at the Comedy Store. And he was like, you have to be an idiot to like not do it. Like, you know, like pretty much. And he just was like going through the list of like, you know, this is where Richard Pryor came from. This is where Robin Williams came from. This is where, you know, he's just going through the list.
I'm going to punch you in the face for him. Like, why does he almost have to explain the greatness for you? He's just like,
honestly, like, it's almost verbatim what you said. He was like, he sees the same thing. And, you know, if somebody sees the same thing and you that they see in these people, like, pretty much is what he said. Like,
yeah. Because, you know, right? they used to call it the it factor in Hollywood, but it, you know, right now we're like, it's the energy thing, but whatever you call it, you got the it factor, you got the energy, that energy that was on Pryor, Eddie Murphy, Monique, I mean, all of the greats, the kings and the queens of comedy, you have that. I was telling Trevante that, bro. I was like, bro, I could barely get through that 5-minute set on her gram because I was laughing too hard. My stomach was hurting 2.5 minutes in to where I was like, hold up, girl. I need a break. This bitch got to kill me. Like, you know, girl, and it makes sense when you tell this story that, like, from the get-go, this motherfucker was looking at you like, yeah, I need you, girl. Like, booking, yeah. Like, I got several dates. When you gonna show up? Mm-hmm. Like, what's good? You're just like, I got class.
And, you know, when I did that stage, here's the cool part about it. It was in the belly room. which is a room that was actually designed and created specifically for women in comedy. So, hey, oh, I just looked up and I was like, oh my God, I thought I saw a ghost because I was watching something and it was just talking about ghosts. Hey, girl. Oh, my bad.
She can't you hear beautiful. You yet. Melissa okay. Janae is saying hello to you. She got very excited. Girl. Blessings, blessings.
I just, all right, so.
It's all good.
All right, so this room's created for women mm-hmm. By Mitzi Shore. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's where, you know, Roseanne got her start. Whoopi. Mm. Sandra Bayard, mm-hmm. I'm probably saying her name wrong, but you know what I'm talking about, the one who played Roseanne's sister. Mm-hmm. A lot of women in comedy got their start there, and I found this out that night because there was, you know, a poster talking about it, and I just was like energy to go on this stage, and like the moment I got on there, I felt like I was at home. Mm. My family was there. Like I had a lot of love in the room. Like it all felt like just I was where I was supposed to be. And honestly, that's really the first time I considered like doing a set. Mm-hmm. Like the competition, I was like that, you know, that was cool or whatever. But like to take the time, write a set and like do that. Mm-hmm. I consider that my anniversary, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
that's when you so feel like you really popped it, and it was like, okay, this is my show. Yeah,
this is what. Yeah, I'm like, okay, I want to do this. You know, so from there, the next thing I started doing was producing shows at CSUN, starting with the Tickle Me Tuesdays, and that was something I, you know, first time I wrote a proposal, went to the student programming board, like, hey, y'all do one comedy show per year, but like with that budget, I could do a whole series for the, you know, I'm like guaranteed, and I can get you
innovation.
names, you know what I mean? Like, and I kid you not, like when you look at the alum who came through there, and then the second series, Laughter Class Off, we had Tiffany Haddish, we had Lil Rel. We had Tony Baker multiple times.
Everybody
we had
who
Neil Brennan, Trevor Noah. Mm. You know what I mean? Like these were all people who came to CSUN and did comedy in like a some place you would normally not do it. Like I would pick on purpose an intimate location that would kind of mimic a comedy club vibe. I didn't want a big theater. Like I'm like I want them to be able to work out and not feel constrained. Because most times people are like worried about doing colleges, like they're scared to really say what they want to say. And I'm like, nah, I don't do shows like that here, you know? We did the pub, which was a pub.
Yeah.
You know? And then we did the arcade, the games room. And that's underground. They had the pool tables and it was, you know, the little stage with the little orange wall, like it was a vibe,
like a sexy nightclub vibe, you know, where they can really turn up their shit, you feel me?
Exactly. And they all loved it. Like everybody who came through, they loved it.
I love the foresight you had though, because because I remember seeing Tickle Me Tuesdays, because I think I was back in Kentucky at that time, but I remember seeing it on the social media. So this was what, 8 years ago maybe? Seven and
this was at least 10 years ago.
Okay, so you really had these people before they were hot. I mean, this was all of them before they were hot. And now the names you just said, these are like, I mean, the top comedians in the world. You know what I'm saying? So not only was you being entrepreneurial, hustling and producing and creating and transforming your school into a business client for yourself and for other comedians, but you was really tapping into like the future at the same time on some just next level shit. You feel me? So I just like to quantify shit for my audience in case they don't understand what the fuck they hearing why you saying it. You know, I like to put in rich dummy terms for them. You feel me?
And I'm gonna be honest with you. That only came from like a respecting. These people wouldn't have done these shows if they didn't. Like a lot of times there would be times where I would kind of have to be like, please, like, because just certain people they're like, yo, the budget ain't really too, like, for colleges, this is what I, you know, my agent ain't really having it. It would kind of be a, like, we would really have to, like, they would do it for the love, you know, like,
that's respect.
You know what I mean? And then some people, like, just nervous about, like, prime example, Lunel. She was just like, I do not do colleges. Like, and I asked her like a second time. She's like, I do not do colleges. She's just like, period. Too raunchy. Like, it's just, and I'm like, it ain't that type of show, Lunel. Like, just treat it how you would any other show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Kane killed it. You know what I mean? So
it's that interesting was kind that of like, the comedians that have, it's interesting. I mean, you know, for me as a young comedian, it's interesting that the OG comedians that had that perspective, because, you know, from a college student perspective, I would think, oh, these are like the most liberal minds in the world, and so they would be more open. And then
that's what I would try to tell them. I'm like, nah, so I was like, they're very open minded, you know?
Yeah. So what and do you think that
would be the self?
Where do you think that fear came from the OGs? It must, I mean, they must have some experiences where colleges were like...
Experiences.
Yeah.
Maybe during the show in an area that maybe, you know, regionally, you can't say everything.
Gotcha.
That you would say in California.
Gotcha.
California is a much more liberal place in general.
Right.
And specifically, you already know CSUN, the history of that. It's a very liberal energy.
Right.
Where...
Free.
You know,
yeah. You almost get away with anything.
It's been there, you know, like the, like that is hugely responsible for a lot of cultural studies as we know it because of that energy. Like they were able to get away with so much more because nobody thought these little white kids would be pushing for this. But it was like, nah, they had like 12 people of color who was like, you know, like this is what we need. And they was like, let's move.
It was down.
And they were able to not get infiltrated as much. Like those sort of things that's like, nah, it's a liberal place.
Yeah.
You can say what you want to say here, you know?
No, I mean, it's phenomenal, Johnny the Queen, honestly. Because when I think about my little campus in Kentucky I went to, like, I mean, they had hella programs too, but they wasn't really doing comedy. We might have got one comedy show in 4 years I was there. You know what I'm saying? They wasn't. And none of us was as creative or innovative at the time to think, hey, maybe we should do a proposal. But I'm thinking at that time, even if we did, they'd have been like, nigga, please, on some Cedric the Entertainer shit. They would have kicked us right out the office, you know? And so I think that you tapping into the energy of CSUN and then using that, again, from an entrepreneurial benefit and putting people on benefit, that shit is fucking genius. Like, I just love that shit.
Yeah, man, that's, you know, the journey's been great. It went from there to, I would say, the next part of my journey was breaking into the urban rooms. And that, you know, like just outside of just doing open mics, I'm talking like, you know, the Crack 'em Up Thursdays, Tripping on Tuesdays, you know, those shows that, where it's like, well, I'm seeing the comedians I grew up watching. Like, this is nuts, that's you crazy. Know?
Like a rapper like, rapping against the rappers that you used to rap against. Or
it's wild. Or like, it's surreal. And that started with Michelle Murdoch, who we met virtually. She was in Cleveland at the time. And I just remember Esau McGraw was the host at the time. And he was like, hey, like, help us like kind of promote this show, invite people out type of thing. So I kind of started coming around, and when she came back to California, she saw me. And from there, like, she just ushered me into this, like, you know, sort of family of like a community of amazing Black comedians. And she runs a very diverse show. So not just Black, but you know, it's largely largely Black. And it's beautiful. So she started letting me like host the early shows, things like that, and then graduated to hosting the main shows, hosting the podcast, those sort of things. And with her shows, a lot of times it led to showcases. So that's how I got introduced to people like Bob Sumner, you know, Stan Lathan, the people who, you know, who write these projects and cast these projects. They're sitting in a room and there you have it. So the journey is like, I could probably go on and on forever, but these are the memories that come to mind first within this 12-year journey. Now there were moments where it was I wanted it. I'll say that. Like, a lot of people who knew me and just knew, like, just something as simple as transportation. Like, I just got a car literally 1 year ago, and I've been in the city since 2005. So this means I was catching the bus, the train, like things like this for like a 5 minute spot. And I'm riding the bus two and a half hours, sometimes 3 hours each way. Wow. You know, shit like that where, you know, you got to want it.
You got to want it.
You got to really want this shit.
Yeah.
To just be like, and I said, you got to believe in yourself. Huh?
You got to believe in yourself, because it's a lot of you can just be like, man, whatever, you know, but you don't know what you brush.
People with cars. who just, you know, it's like, all right, man, like, this is before Uber, you know, so this, you know, and even when Uber came along, it's like, all right, it's getting a little pricey. So, you know, you're halfway.
That's the car budget. Like that. Yeah.
But, you know, it's, I've had a lot of blessed moments where I just feel like, you know, being in the right place at the right time is a lot of it. I do see, I'm a visionary, I'm a manifester. So things, I see it first before it even happens. I may have a dream about it. I may just be daydreaming some, you know, and it happens. And it's a mix of hard work and faith, you know, it's a lot of things on the journey, support, you know, yeah. So, flash forward to, so, I would say most recent. Oh, sorry.
No. Please go ahead.
I would say flash forward to like the most recent part of the journey, moving to a lot more digital platforms. Mm-hmm. So the All Def, you know, the Kev All Stage Studios, those sort of things, I would say have introduced me to a whole new wave of people. I would say my people, like, the longer I'm doing this, the more I'm finding my audience, where it's like, oh, these, I'm starting to catch the vibe of people who, like, you know, who genuinely fuck with me.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's beautiful to see my demographic is, you know, honestly, it's a 10-year. It's a 10-year span. So it's really 24 to 34 is like kind of my highest demographic, that type of thing. But I feel like I'm reaching my people.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, I love it. And it's a blessing to be able to use the digital world in the comedy, because it is a different thing, especially for a stand-up comedian, right? Because you're so used to being able to almost play ping pong with your audience. You can look someone in the eye and maybe catch a vibe, and that can spur a thought or something, right? And then now you're looking at a camera, and it's like, I mean, it might be a million people looking back at you eventually, but you can't just feed off of that while you're on camera. You know what I'm saying? So how did that work for you in transforming yourself and being able to really channel your energy for the camera versus the stage?
I would say that's where the theater background comes into play. So there's this crazy thing where for me, I'll talk about the acting and comedy. A lot of times in my experience, when I go into a room to audition for something, I clam up. I ain't gonna lie. Those days, like, I just be wanting to disappear. I'm like, what just happened? Who just took over your body and your mind? Like, you, what is going on? Now, when I'm on stage, it's totally different. Like, I just tap into this, like, thing where glorious. It's like easier for me to play bigger than smaller, if that makes sense. So
you're huge on stage. You're huge. You're huge on stage. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, somebody can click on any one of your stand-ups right now, and they only have to watch 2 minutes to be like, yo, where's this fucking special? Like, is she on Amazon? Is she on Hulu? Is she on Netflix? Like, I need to see the whole hour. Like, you're huge on stage. Like, That's what I love. I'm honored to know you, that we can have this time, because I'm like, the girl got something.
I think a part of it is because of most of my comedy is pretty intimate. Like, the more you watch it, like, sometimes people are like, wow, you really said that? Like, whether or not it's a joke or not, just the fact I said it kind of behooves people sometimes. And it's not even just raunchy. So, like, people are just like, wow, you like, I just didn't see that coming. But some things are more personal, whether it's family, whether it's relationship stuff, like whether it's body image stuff, mm-hmm. whether it's socioeconomics, like certain things are a little more intimate, but I feel like because they're more vulnerable, I kind of do want to be like bigger. It's just like,
yeah.
I don't want just one, like, it's just like, let me just distract all these motherfuckers. So what's really, you know, like, you know what I mean? It's just smart. Like, I don't know. It just feels a little like weird. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I know what you're saying. I hope the audience can really understand what you're saying. Cause I really can interpret that as a political, right? Like you gotta, anytime you're pushing an issue or a candidate in real life, it might be like, ugh. My candidate's okay, but I need you to see something so big and great about them that what's okay about them, you don't even pay attention to that. You only see the greatness. And I think comedy a lot of times is the same way, when people turn in their pain and their tragedy and their insecurities into hilarity for the world.
Yeah.
The world is like, wow, that is great. And you're like, yo, I'm so fucked up. But yeah, it's great, right? Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah. You know, there's a saying that I always remind myself. They say the only difference between tragedy and comedy is time. Mm. So, like, distance is, like, really much the only difference between those two. And it makes a lot of sense of, like, some shit, like, I could have been super upset about. And it's like, I could totally laugh about now and just, you know, see the blessing of it, or, you know, things of that nature. But yeah, I will say it kind of just goes hand in hand, that theater, being on stage experience with comedy specifically, it works playing big.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I'm auditioning for something else, that same, it doesn't work. It's like, yo, it's just one person. This camera, like, just connect with the camera, you know? So that's where I ran into my issue of like, what? Oh, this is a totally new realm for me.
Yes.
But, you know, praise God for people who just look at a tape and be like, yo, I want her to play this part. Because that's how 9 times out of 10 I've booked everything. It's not usually an audition.
Yeah.
But, you know, we all got energy. A journey.
No, but like, I think, you know, I like capturing people with great energy, because I like to talk about that a lot on the show, and that the successful people that I've noticed, it don't matter if they're in real estate, it don't matter if they're actors or entertainers like yourself, it don't matter if they're running a restaurant, running for office, a lot of these people who are truly successful, it's not that they haven't had pitfalls or even failures or bankruptcies, depending on the business, but their energy is almost so undeniable. It's like, just because they're breathing, they're going to be successful. So you just want to be in the room with them. You just want to connect with them. You're like, yo, I know that I'm on the path of success. This person's on the path to success. We should be in the room together doing some successful shit, right? And that's it's a whole different movement. And that's how winners win, right? Versus if I see you and I'm like, she's on the path to success. Well, whatever. I don't even want to deal with her.
Right.
But she's still going to be successful, but now what energy are you playing with if you're not playing with the success?
Let me sip my wine on that one.
I mean, but it's because it's some real shit, right? If I'm not happy, or I can't give a blessing to you for being successful, and you're going to be successful because it's inevitable, then that means I am not taking part in successful energy, blessed energy, good energy, the same attractiveness that is driving your success. And if I'm not doing that, I got some bigger problems to even deal with than thinking about hating on you for anything. You know what I'm saying? I need to deal with, why ain't my shit moving, and why isn't my energy attracting things that I want that's good? But obviously there's something wrong with my consciousness where I can't even appreciate the good happening around me. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And so, yeah, I just want to point that out, because you have been like one of the purest and most modest people since I met you. And again, when you hit that stage, I'm like, yeah, Monique, she coming for your crown. Like, you might just have to hand it off, because she going to take it. You know what I'm saying?
And, oh, no, Monique, like, we going to be up there together.
Shout out to Monique. Shout out to Monique. I love her. I love her. But I'm
it's only one person I don't mess with. Like, out of all the queens of, like, in comedy, and that's a great thing to say. And I just don't mess with them because they don't mess with me in a way where I don't get it. You know, where like, you pop in, what you worried about little old me for, you know? But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you touched on something that I would say that is one, just like, I'm not going to say discouraging, but maybe disappointing. Disappointing point, part of the journey is, you know, you come into this thing with, I look at it as like a class.
Yep.
A lot of us refer to it as that. It's like the people who you hit the open mics with, you know,
right,
the people, you know, who you broke bread with, mm-hmm. you know, literally, figuratively, monetarily, all that. Like mm-hmm. in so many ways, people you invite into your home, vice versa, these things. And unfortunately, there are times where it's like a switch up occurs and you just gotta like try to figure out like what happened, you know, like I thought we was all good, you know, but it unfortunately, like with success, like sometimes people don't know how to handle that and they kind of like in a way like how do you say it, like you just don't hear from them no more, like in that type of way. And then when you see it in the public, it's the most fake thing ever. And like, exactly. You know, where it's like, come on, like what happened? Like, congrats on the series. Like I'm rooting for, you know, like, but like, what's the weird shit about, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And this in every game. It's, I mean, I've had in politics cats I've known since I was 18, 19 years old. We out here in Oakland together. And in the same game, doing the same thing, and all of a sudden, yo, why you being weird? And what is this made-up shit? Are we really about to not be friends about this? Because I don't want to put my hands on you because I got love for your mama, your grandmama and shit. Like, are we going? Okay, sayonara.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you just, it's like, bro, like you said, we're in our 30s now, so like, bro, I ain't got time to be fist fighting with you. I ain't got time to be arguing with you. I ain't got time to be beefing with you. I got little children in the house. I get chased around with a baseball bat by Bam Bam every day. I don't have time to be arguing with you about your insecurities. You know what I'm saying? I forget the comedian who said it, but he was like, bro, don't put my life in that fucked up filter of your brain from your little messed up childhood and then come out with some shit. He was like, see me for me. If you can't see me for me and appreciate me for me and know that because of who I am, I'm always rooting for you because I know that if people around me winning, then I'm winning. If I'm the weakest, I had a brother on the show the other day named Church, one of the biggest gangsters in the town at one point and one of the biggest community leaders now, like real, real community organizers, do peace walks, feed the people, all of that, right? Take care of his wife, his two little girls. I mean, really a good man. And he was like, bruh, if I'm the weakest link in my circle and all my circle is doing great, and I know I'm handling my business too, man, we good. I got a strong ass mm-hmm. circle. And I'm like, yo, mm-hmm. that's how you want to be. Like, yo, if I'm kind of handling mine and I'm okay, but I ain't even shit compared to, man, check out John A. the Queen. That's who funny. Check out Monkey D. Trevante if you want to see some comedic acting skills. Check out James Cronin if you want to hear a voice that really moves people. Like, you know, mm-hmm. if you start, then it'd be like, oh, shit. All these people really are great, and they better than you. That's what I'm saying. And I love that because you know how much we're rising. If I'm the base, you know, that's how I look mm-hmm. at it. But some people will be like, they just can't enjoy that mentality, not understanding that that's a winner's mentality, right? That's when your circle is constantly growing and building.
It's an honor to be in the presence of people better than me. Mm-hmm. Like, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Period.
It's an honor.
And you would want that if you was playing basketball. If you was like who want to be on the basketball court playing with a bunch of scrubs? You want to play with people that's going to make you better. You know what I'm saying? And so I think it's that same mentality. But cats don't necessarily carry that healthy competition into adulthood. Mm-hmm. You feel me? And
mm-hmm.
I think we lose a lot of friends that way. But they really be, as my homie Dre would say, who also had on the show, El Shaddai, he was like, these cats cut themselves off. He was like, don't be mad when somebody cut themselves off, bro. Like, they doing you a favor, you know?
Honestly, because it's, you know, energetically, dead leaves, that's sending dead energy to the whole plant. So right. It's only going to weigh you down. Exactly. So.
Exactly.
Just trim them. Just trim them off.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. So tell me a little bit about your traveling that you've done with the comedy and how that's been. You know, because again, I'm a baby in the game, so I get to go across the bridge on the BART and, you know, do my little 5 minutes and come back. But you have traveled, like, again, like a fucking rapper. Like, talk to the world. Tell all of us, you know, new to the game or who not even in the game, about your experience as a traveling comedian. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, it's been interesting because, like, my travel has been a mix of some for work, but some just strictly for leisure. You know, like, that's important for me, too. So, I haven't necessarily got the experience of being on the road, per se, consistently, where it's like, okay, I'm doing these, like, weekends back to back to back. But I've had, like, the one tour, which was the All Deaf comedy tour.
Okay.
And we did Baltimore, we did Atlanta, I believe DC.
Okay.
And then I did a cruise line, very short-lived experience, and that was I got to travel to Costa Maya, Mexico, Cozumel, Mexico, Belize, Honduras. That might be it. Huh?
That is dope. Central America, like, come on now. That is
beautiful. It was pretty
awesome.
It was pretty rad. But I'll be honest, this was like 2018 or 17. And honestly, I think COVID has been around because I'm pretty sure I had that shit like on that thing. Like, just a side note. Like, because there were a couple of people who had been doing the cruise and they were like, oh, I have the same symptoms. And it was like the doctors could never figure out what it was. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
It makes sense now, especially with all these new variants coming out. Every time I read the newspaper, I feel like I'm reading about a new variant. We're in like a fourth new variant. Right. And I'm like,
it was definitely a coronavirus. Yeah, though, for sure.
Maybe COVID-19 was the 19th corona we got, you know.
Like, right. Exactly. And that was like, it makes sense. There were so many people from all over the world. Like, yeah, you're going to get something. Circulated air? Are you kidding me? That's what you on cruise. You just breathing everybody's air for days. But yeah, that was like,
rest in peace to all the victims of the coronavirus.
Yeah. Grateful for this sightseeing for sure. That's what I took away from there. And then, so
was you performing on the ship, or did you also perform in like Honduras?
I was headlining.
Okay.
Yeah, headlining. So I had to do two shows a night.
Dope.
New material each show.
Okay.
Clean.
Okay.
Family friendly. Not just that. Can't talk about anything related to body size. Can't talk about anything. Like, it was just so many restrictions. I'm like,
oh wow,
y'all want to do some poetry? Like, what? Like, what is y'all asking me to do?
Right? Did y'all want me to do some poetry? Like, just go up there and read the Bible for them. Like, y'all want it real clean? How clean?
It was interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
And then in my personal travels, 2019, I was just like, yo, there were these places I always said I wanted to go. And just off irony, two of my friends were going to two of them. And I happened to have a layover in the third one for a day. So it was like, obviously meant to be. So that was Bali, Thailand, and Dubai. I did sing in Bali at a piano bar.
Okay.
Just like, I was so, technically I did perform in Bali.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, say that.
Right? I'm just going to say it because, yeah, I mean, it was a mic. It was a performance.
It's a performance. In Bali.
Right? And oddly enough, we had a short layover in Wuhan, China.
Oh, of all the cities, the
right
a
month,
Wuhan.
Like, pretty, yeah, January, and like this shit was what?
Oh, in January 2020,
yeah,
So you could have got corona again if you wouldn't have had it in 2017. Yeah, no,
seriously, we think we all had it. We think we had it.
Damn.
One of us might have been patient zero, allegedly.
Oh, y'all, you know, started this mess. Damn.
No, I'm just saying.
When the movie is made, your Native Queen Circle is going to be patient, where patient zero came from on the corona. Is that what you're telling me?
Allegedly.
Okay. Well, we're going to go with the allegedly. I'm okay with that.
Just kidding. April Fool's, knock, knock.
Look, I know. Look, you can't be telling people you went to Wuhan in the future. You just got to make up a new city. Like, you know, we was in Beijing or Qingdao or I don't remember. All them cities kind of look alike, you know. Like,
let me show you something. This is my Wuhan blanket. I took this from the airplane, so.
You got a Wuhan blanket. So you like
cabin boots only. And you see the...
I see. Like,
I watched it so many times, though, so it's okay.
You like the U.S. government back in the 1700s. You bringing polio to the Americas and shit.
Allegedly.
She got the blanket with the first corona on the Jazzy Comedy Show, y'all. Who knew? I wasn't expecting the confession on the show today, John Eddie Quinn.
Yeah, they confiscated my dragon fruit and my mango, but let me keep the blanket.
Ain't that some shit? Well, you know, America likes poisonous blankets.
That's right. Maybe that's how that's why I was supposed to stay in the cabin. Damn it. That's the only reason they wanted that shit back.
That is crazy. So, what'd you do in Wuhan? Because, again, for most of us,
it was just we were in the airport the whole time. So, we just was sitting in the shit.
Oh, yeah. They just flew y'all there to get corona.
Pretty much.
It was a corona layover.
Yep. Damn. I had never even heard of Wuhan. Never. Until it was on my ticket. And then on the news, I was like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me.
I think if I go back and watch some old Chinese martial arts movies from the 70s, there was probably a story out of Wuhan in there somewhere. But it never registered until after. You know what I'm saying? Nobody just thinks about Wuhan. You think about maybe Bali or Fiji when you think about that's all the word. Hong Kong. You don't think about Wuhan.
No,
yeah, nah. Yeah, that is crazy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was your last traveling because corona happened 6 weeks after that, right?
Yeah, I came back. I went to the Bay Area. I did the Bay Area comedy competition.
Okay.
And then that was pretty much it. Yeah.
And here we are. Okay, so how do you see... I mean, because you're a visionary, you know, you're kind of prophetic with the greatness coming. Like, talk to us about how you see 2021, 2022, you know, where you're driving yourself, where you just, you know, hoping things kind of will roll out for the whole entertainment industry. Because I know everybody's kind of lost in what's happening. We don't get, you know, you've been watching TV. It's been the same shit for the last 8 months.
You know, I think that, you know, that will still go on for as long as it will go on. But I do know that, you know, there are still a lot of artists who, off top, artists are revolutionary minds. Right. So you can only kind of keep us in a box for so long before it's like, all right, we've had enough. We're gonna get creative with it. We're going to invest in our equipment. We're going to do these things and create in a safe way. You know, but in a way that's still popping. So, like, prime example, like, I would say the first thing I saw like that was, like, the BET Awards this year. I was like, oh, yeah, we are unstoppable. And then, you know, we have the verses and things like that where it's, like, culturally, we're fucking unstoppable. We're just going to create some new shit that's going to be even doper.
Right.
And that now y'all just going to want to make that, like, the new way anyway.
Right.
But,
which is,
you know,
how America works.
Right. So, you know, I think that we will still see an emergence of comedy specials. Like, people are going to figure out, you know, whether shoot it outdoor, whether shoot it in a city that is open, you know, whether shoot it at a place where everyone has to get COVID tested, these sort of things where people are going to still make it happen. I'll be one of those people, you know, like where it's like, you know, I was supposed to shoot my special last May.
Okay.
But, you know, like, I had my theater and everything, like, down deposit, like, was ready.
Yeah.
And
Please invite me when you shoot your special. Yeah. I'll be in there, masked up, face mask, whatever I need, fireman outfit, whatever. You know, I can strip too if you want me to do some entertainment on that level. You know.
Okay, you know, so we'll drop the Cash App, have the people, you know, pay to play.
Pay to play, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Off top, I just want a small percentage.
I got you, bro. It's like, that sounds like a pimp, but that's okay. I'm with that.
Madame, I prefer that. But, you know,
Look, every time I go to LA now, John Eddie Quinn is going to be my madame. If y'all want to see me strip for every, you know, $10 y'all throw on the table, perfect. I guess I got to give her like four or five. I don't know. We'll figure out the numbers after the show.
That sound perfect.
That sound good. Okay. Yep. She's perfect. Definitely pimping my ass out. Y'all heard it here.
Yep. That's what I does, you know. I basically have my vision. Like, I still want to shoot it the way I want to shoot it. I do want an audience. Like, you know, at the time we were playing around with different ideas. Like, do we do a drive through? Do we do it? You know, like some just wild ideas of, you know, virtual audience. And I'm just like, nah, I'm old school. Like, I want a space, like, to do it how I want to do it, you know, so I'm not thrown off energetically.
Right.
Like, that is more, for me, it's just like, it ain't going to be the best if we try to do this another way.
Right. Like,
I can do it, but it ain't going to be what I want it to be.
It don't come off the same way. Yeah.
No.
But y'all got spaces in LA, right? Y'all got, like, parks and these outside auditoriums.
Parks, there's, you know, people are using, I've been in, like, I've done one taping, two tapings. One was in an alley. One was, it was a studio space.
Okay.
And it just was like, you know, everyone had to be COVID tested and it was small audience. There's ways around it. Definitely continuing to work on my series. So starting off, I mean, it may be digital, but it, you know, who knows, you know, shoot for the moon. It could get picked up.
Yeah.
Network, you know, that would be awesome. Yeah. But I'm here for the journey of it all. Just getting it done, you know.
I love it.
Music. So working on recordings.
Okay. You gonna drop an album for us in 2021?
You know, at least it will be recorded. I don't know what the process, like, I want it to sound in a way. So if it takes 2021 to complete it, mix it, master it, you know, and if 2022 is the year, because I'm fine with that too. I like the number 22 a lot.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll see. But if it's time, it'd be released this year. I'm not, you know, but
you're just not rushing it. You really
want it to be hot. Yeah.
So I've heard you sing, beautiful voice. You, with your album, are you going more of like R&B, like 90s, or are you going with like some kind of like new age? Because, you know, your voice, you can like play a couple different realms if you want to. So what are you kind of, what vibe are you feeling without, you know, giving away the juice necessarily on your album?
Yeah. So some of the producers I'm working with right now is Winter Enter. He's like my main producer down in San Diego, C-Win Records. He plays like guitar and bass. Mm. A lot of his stuff is kind of neo soul, hip hop.
Okay.
With electronic soul vibes too.
Okay.
It's pretty dope. It's like, it's music to my ears, you know. And then I got a couple of tracks from a hip hop producer based out of Canada, Mocha Only. He's been in the game for a minute, super dope. And they have like one of them definitely has like a nice 90s vibe.
Okay.
So there will be a couple of 90s vibes on there, but definitely some electronic soul vibes, neo soul, hip hop, you know, all of the fun stuff. And a lot of collaborations, having a lot of my dope musicians who I play with live, kind of feature on tracks to give it, like, you know, real music sounding, so not just all engineered and, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. through that way, having live
the band
sax,
yeah,
you know, live harmonica.
Look, if you need live a saxophone player, I play the alto sax. I got my saxophone upstairs.
Okay,
you
let me know. On it, yeah.
I can't wear a mask and play the saxophone.
You know, a little something, you know?
A little something, you know what I'm saying? Like, I do like the band and stuff, though. Like, I always talk to Trevante about that. Like, when it comes to music, I'm like, it's something about having a band. It's one thing I like about the Migos brothers rap, because I don't really understand what they're saying. I feel old when I say that, but it's true. But they but they play instruments, you know what I'm saying? And so it's like, yo, regardless of what the fuck you're saying, you're making music. And we had scatting in the 20s where we didn't understand what they were saying. So it's not like that's a new thing anyway, you know what I'm saying? But they make it dope. And I think that whenever people have the full band experience, again, you know me, I'm all about the magic of creativity, not just like, all right, you might create a song or a step or something, and I can scientifically understand it. Okay, she sung D, then she sung E, or they step like this, doom, doom, one, two. But it's like the magic comes in when we all just kind of flowing in the music, and then your voice just kind of carries, and then the saxophone and the trumpet complements the voice, and the drums pick up. It's like, that's the music. Mm-hmm. And for, I think that we're also in the Renaissance period, not only as the Negro people, but I think we're bringing America into another Renaissance. And so the way you describe and doing your music, like that, it feels right for the period. You know, it feels like the coming of age for the whole country to, like, again, get out of the just organized sound through the computer. Computers are dope, but music has been around for thousands of years before computers, and you can't get rid of the original sound. You know what I'm saying?
That part. So, you know.
I feel that. All right. Before,
but I'm grateful, you know, that we've come a long way, that, you know, it's a lot of motorcycles.
LA traffic. It's all good.
It's great that we do have the opportunity for people to get out their musical ideas who don't necessarily know how to play an instrument. It doesn't mean they can't come up with some dope, you know? So it is cool to have that too.
For sure. So I got one more question before I let you go, because I know you're a busy woman, and I don't want to burn your clock home after I send you some money. When you do your comedy now, because it sounds like when you originated your times, the first couple times on stage with the competition and stuff, you were able to, like, really just flow it out from some inner place of greatness and then pull the audience to you. Now, as like a veteran in the game, do you still flow it out the same way, or is it more scripted? Because, right, you also understand and mastered the science of that, especially as a theater person, right? Or is it like a 50-50? How do you play when you're on the stage, you know?
Yeah, great question. It's definitely a combination of both. So I do prepare before I write out a set for the night, whether it's material that I have done, whether it's adding new beats throughout the week. A lot of times it depends on the parameters of the show. If it's a live taping, you know, special, something like that, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to hit them with something that's polished. I'm not going to really do a bunch of just new stuff or just like freestyle it. Like, nah, like, you know, but there are times, like, prime example, a show like Revolt TV, Funny AF. So I went in there with my material, but they also, as producers, gave us a rundown of, like, yes, you know, the set will be about a 10 to 12 minute set, but do you know, just flow. We'll edit it down to show the best. So, like, I've done that a few times, and there's been times where I've seen the edits. I was like, oh, I didn't expect them to use, like, the free, you know, stuff. Like, I was just talking shit, like, you know, like, that wasn't, I was just warming up, or, you know, those sort of things where, you know,
that hit too.
But, right. If it's a show like where I'm hosting, mm-hmm. I'm not going to go in with a script.
Gotcha.
At all.
Gotcha.
I'm not. But that doesn't mean while I'm on stage, something may not happen that triggers something that I have written before. Gotcha. That's typically how it goes. But it's a nice combination of crowd work, just observations, you know, things like that. But I think it's something a little more personal about hosting, where to me, it's not about my material that night. It's about moving the show along and connecting with the audience, engaging with them, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. unless it's a showcase and they're like, yo, you need to do your set too, that sort of thing. Mm. I'm probably just going to, you know, be as fluid as possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of times it's a combination of, you know, writing for a set. If it's a 5-minute set, you know, I got to kind of figure out, do I want to do just one joke, two jokes, you know, do I want to snip off parts of one joke to get to, you know, sort of like, it's a science of like, what do I want to do in this time frame?
Right.
How much? If I'm doing an hour, all right, I want to do 5 to 10 minutes of just off top freestyle and connect with the audience, then material, then, you know, like that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
And always plugging in. It's always different. My openers, my closers, my middle, it kind of just depends mm-hmm. like what the vibe is for that night. Mm-hmm. Or because there's times where I could be doing a joke and I could tell this audience don't really know what I'm talking about. So I got to get out of that a little quicker. And there may be time where I'm doing a joke and it's like, oh, they really messing with that. Let me elongate that. Let me stay in this for a minute.
Right. Right.
You know?
No, your timing is perfect. I've definitely appreciated how you can lay out a joke. And then when the audience is like, because sometimes, you know, the audiences be slow. And so you might have 10% of the audience get the joke right, as you said. Yeah. Then 50% of the audience get the joke 4 or 5 seconds yeah. later. And then the rest of the audience get it. And you will just kind of like yeah. feed off of that and play with that for another 10, 15 yeah. seconds and let that roll. And I remember talking to Trevante, like, yo, she's cold at handling the audience and how they are able to digest your jokes and how you're able to like navigate yeah. that before you go into the next phase.
Oh yeah, you gotta have some balls, because there's times that you may shoot for something and don't land how you land. You just, oh well, let me just go into something else. Or maybe only one person laughed, or like it maybe took. I realize a lot of my stuff is a little sometimes cerebral. Mm-hmm. So off top, that's a barrier I gotta break. Just if somebody's first time seeing me, there are times, depending on where I'm at, they automatically think they know how I'm going to sound, what I'm going to talk about, everything. Just like, oh, she's a Black woman. She's going to be, you know? So it takes them a minute to just like, A, even listen with their ears, mm-hmm. like get over whatever, depending on what I have on. It's like these sort of things where sometimes it's like, it takes a minute to just get people to listen. If that makes sense, mm-hmm. like get over whatever.
Right. Just stop looking at me and feel me, hear me.
Yeah. Just listen, you yeah. know, like it just, it's always different and you never know how it's going to play. So it's fun. It's scary at times. It's unpredictable. It's a lot of things, but it's my favorite.
Yeah. T always says it's like a drug. I didn't really understand it until Corona happened. I was like, damn, mm-hmm. I missed that shit. Like, I want to just get back on stage and talk to people, you know? And
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And many of us have withdrawals, man.
Yeah.
They don't want to show you that part. It's a lot of comedians that was crying on our lives, on IG Live during the pandemic, because we was losing our shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but, you know, we...
It's been tough. Yeah. I mean, entertainers have committed suicide and everything over the last year. Like, I read about a 30-year-old guitar player who was popping, and she took her life, you know, right at the end of the year. And it was just like...
Yeah. A lot more, I would say, mental illness than the actual virus that people don't talk about. Like, yeah. there's been a lot of that COVID-related
right.
stuff.
Right. No, like, for sure.
You know,
but, and the stage can be healing, right? It can be healing for the artist that's performing, and it's healing for the people who listening, who maybe identify with some of the same tragedies, and then they're able to think about their own life in a more comedic way or more a healthier perspective. You know what I'm saying? And so without that exchange, I always think about, like, misery loves company, but tragedy is better shared with a laugh. You know what I'm saying? So it's like a comedian don't get up there just to, like, spread misery. But it's like, look, I'm going to share a little bit of my tragedy. Y'all can laugh at me. You can laugh with me. I don't really care. But we're all going to take this burden on together, and then it's going to just go away. You know what I'm saying? And that's like the physics behind the comedy, you know, when it comes to the healing. Yeah. And without that, it's definitely hard. And when you talk about mental health, I mean, we can have a whole nother hour conversation on how that's affecting our people, like, all across the nation. You know what I'm saying? From comedians to, I mean, people who lost day-to-day jobs just trying to take care of their family. And, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, maybe we'll get something done with mental health. But it's not even a conversation I feel like most people are having. We just kind of walk past it like homelessness, you know.
Well, shout out to, I'm going to plug this project real quick, Car Therapy Series. It is a comedic slash, I would say, like, a dramedy digital series that I'm a part of. I play the main character, Nikki. I play her best friend, Bree. And for Tony Baker's in it.
LA Motors.
Jasmine Carter. A bunch of up-and-coming comedians, comedic actors, and it touches on therapy and things of that nature.
Say the name of it again for the audience.
Car Therapy. And you can check it out, cartherapyseries.com. I believe we still are doing, we're in the final stages of our crowdfunding, so we can get, you know, the proper editing, color, sound, so it looks and sounds amazing. You know, we're trying to do the best, bring that Black excellence.
I love it.
Created by a Black woman, Janelle Williams. Show.
Shout out.
Yeah. The revolution is going, you know?
Yeah. And see, I love that you said that, because that's the part of the revolution a lot of people don't understand. It's not always guns and protests. It is art. It is creativity. It is business. Mm-hmm. It's economic development. It is creating jobs for your friends, even when you might not be making money, but you got to go hustle a different way for yourself because you can, and you got to put your friends on because you can. And this is revolutionary, because now there's money being stimulated within the community. If we do that one time, we're doing better than statistics. If we do it twice, we're killing the game. If we get back to doing it 7-8 times, well, now we on some Tulsa Black Wall Street type work. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Exactly. So, like, we got to play the game. The gatekeepers aren't really there no more.
Yeah.
So it's time to, like, get our shit out there. And, like, while Hollywood is kind of taking a break, Hollywood is, people, consumers are still wanting content.
Right.
So
I love it. So, CarTherapyseries.com, John A. the Queen. Where can the people find you, sister? They want to just holler at you, connect with you, laugh, you know, what's up?
I would say Instagram is a good way. I'm kind of there the most. And that's at Jonnae the Queen, JonnaetheQueen. Twitter at Jonnae Thompson. My Facebook fan page, Jonnae Thompson. That's JonnaE once again. Like and subscribe my YouTube.
Always.
Yeah, I'll just let people know, like, for any artist you want to support, like their fan page on Facebook, like and subscribe to their YouTube channels, help them build those platforms, because that's where the monetization is. So,
for sure.
You know, show support that way, give them some watch hours, things of that nature.
I love that.
Hey, that's where I
definitely try to do that. My homie Dre just dropped his movie 1023 on Amazon, and even though I done watched it like 3 or 4 times already, sometimes I just open up my Chromebook, press play, put it on mute, and just let it ride, because I know that'll cycle through a good 2 hours for him and get his stream hours up. You know, I'll go through my MacBook. I learned about one of my homies' podcasts, and I'm really telling y'all some message. I download all of their episodes because I know it makes the numbers look good. And we need to do that for each other, you know. And I think about that a lot of time when it comes to, like, social media. I'm like, people you grew up with share people's stuff all day who they don't know.
Yeah.
And then they struggle sharing people's stuff who they do know. And then in the game, as you do your work, you'll have all these new strangers who don't know you sharing all your stuff. And then sometimes the people who do know you be like, oh, yeah, let me share it too. And it's like,
yeah,
I've been in your life, bruh. Like, why did it take Casper the Friendly Ghost to like me for you to like me too? Like, come on now. Stop. People need to start being more real with each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Support your people. Be fans of your friends who are doing amazing things. Like, don't play like they not, you know, like, dig them up, show them love, you know, in a real way. But, you know, like, it's okay to do that.
There's so many ways to support, right? Like you said, you can like and subscribe somebody's stuff. That's support. You can share it. That's support. You can download their episodes or they play their series or whatever. If that's all free, right? But then
word of mouth. Tell somebody else about them.
Yeah, but if you really want to throw your support behind, it's just like a political campaign. Put some money in there. Put some money behind your people. You know, I got another sister. And here's the thing. You don't even have to be best friends or talk to them every day to support them if you know them, right? I think about this sister from U of L. Her name is Brianna Hogue. She graduated with like a master's in like philosophy or social work or something. Something really, really smart people have, right? And then now she's working a PhD. She have a little son. When she was trying to get books for her son, there wasn't a lot of books for little brown boys. So she basically created a collection of books, like the Little Brown Boy Collection. I think that's the name. I don't know. Look up Brianna Hogue if you're interested. But she got all these different books. Every time she releases a new book, we buy it. And my son got all the books in there. And I be telling the authors of all the books he have. But anytime I get to her book and I can like flip it over the back, I'm like, yo, I went to college with her. This is my homegirl. You know what I'm saying? I probably haven't actually sat in a room with this sister in 10 years. We talk, you know, sparingly on social media. But it's like, I love you for just being about it in your life. And I'm not writing fucking children books, but I can spend $14 every time you want to put one out. That ain't shit. I spend that on coffee and backwoods in a couple days. You know what I'm saying? And so I just think that it's so easy to support the people we care about. And it's not like people are asking for Michael Jordan money. I mean, nobody's like selling $300 tickets, right? People are like, yo, you know, $10 here, $20 there, $30 here. Like, throw some support behind them, and we can really be a self-sustaining people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So I got you. Book me in for when you do your show, your hour special, so I can come in with my fireman suit and strip for all the ladies. Yeah. And, you know, it's L.A., so it'll probably be for the gentlemen, too. But whatever. I'm taking all dollars.
Yeah.
Hey, we take it all. Thank you again, Johnetti Queen, for being on the show. Anything else you want to leave the beautiful people with? I know you done gave them so many golden nuggets, and not that you got to give it away for free, but anything else you got for the audience, I definitely appreciate you dropping.
Nah, just, you know, stay blessed, stay, you know, keeping your dreams close and in the forefront. Like, you just keep going.
Yes, ma'am. I love it. Keep going. Keep
it's bound to happen. If you don't quit, it's going to happen. There's no other way.
I agree. And we can't ignore our dreams, right? Even when all of our friends and we see signs of them up everywhere. And then we see the lady that's going to put us in the Jimmy Kimmel competition. And we just think we have better things to do than pursue our own powerful selves.
I wasn't aware. You know, but thank God for deliverance. Hey. You know, delivered.
Look, for those who have eyes to see, let them see, my sister.
Yes.
Oh, good. I really, really do appreciate you taking the time. I know you've been hella busy, but this has been amazingly great. And you've taught me on the show. I've got to enjoy some laughs with you on the show. And I hope that my audience also get to enjoy some laughs. And I know they will if they look up Johnay the Queen and go to her YouTube page and watch all her stand-up material. I know y'all need more stand-up because if you've been watching Amy Schumer on Netflix, catch up. Get some real hilarity in your life that ain't funny. And I'm going to just say that here on the Jazzy County show. She knows she ain't funny, so I ain't saying nothing new. But she's famous. you know, white privilege go a long way in every fucking game in this country. I'm going to just say that.
She might want to book me for something. Amy, what's up, girl? Look. She's going to be like, I heard he was on the, look, I'm taking all jobs.
Hey, Amy, Jonae didn't say it. Don't blame her for it. And if you do, that's some racist shit. You're going to blame a black woman for what I said?
Blame me as a man.
Blame me as a black man. Blame me as a comedian. Jazzy comedy show, bitch. You still ain't funny. That's just the game. And if anybody want to argue that you are funny, the fact that they got to argue it and we can't just watch one of your specials and determine it speaks for itself. So now we're going to play some currency infused, and we're going to move on to some actual entertaining things, not an Amy Schumer special. Jonae the Queen, I look forward to seeing your special. I look forward to stripping in it. I look forward to just any time I can give you a hug post-corona and enjoy the beautiful energy that you share with the world. I thank you for contributing your art and really finding it at such a young age that you can be a veteran in the game in your 30s and also be a teacher of the game while you're all mastering, producing, and being out there for the world. I appreciate how you've been able to entertain me just as a fan during the corona time, because we all need it. Life's a mother. And when people that share their gifts with the world and make the world a better place, look, the Bible says when you refresh one, you refresh yourself. And you have refreshed me. You refreshed my family. I know you refreshed Trevante. You refreshed thousands and thousands of people through your love and your joy that you share with the world. And I appreciate you for that. I honor you for that, truly.
Thank you.
For sure. She's so modest, y'all. Y'all have no idea. Like, oh my God. She could be as arrogant as she wants because she is funny enough to just say, suck my, but she ain't even like that. You know what I'm saying? I know. See, I told y'all. She's just a sweet woman. She's just kind, beautiful. And the fact that, as Malcolm X said, the black woman is the most neglected and ignored person in the world. And this beautiful queen I'm talking to is the beautiful queen I'm talking to. Shows that a lot of y'all don't have eyes to see, because y'all would be putting our sisters up. And that's not on no pedestal. It's just recognizing the leadership and the I don't even have a word for the glorious essence that they carry. And if you don't know a sister that carry that, you don't know enough sisters. I argue you don't know any. So, Jonae the Queen, I support you. I hope that all of the audience members around the world, Frenchie, you hear me, Frenchie? I'm talking to your ass, nigga. You need to support my sister, Jonae the Queen. When she come to Paris and she want to do her show, y'all better open it up with 10,000 people. But keep that corona shit to yourself. Y'all get my sister sick, I'm coming to France and I'm whooping all y'all ass.
I think they got it in control.
Everybody got it better than America. America's number one at fucking shit up. So, you know. We got like the 47th best internet, but we number one at killing people for corona. Ain't that a bitch? But you know, the NFL still had the Super Bowl, so obviously we're doing okay. All right.
Oh, they are?
Nah, I'm just saying. Didn't they have a Super Bowl? I think they had one. I think that's how they keep
it. Oh, it already?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love you for that. She's like, I didn't even pay attention to that.
But I've been watching Bridgerton. And
not Bridgerton, though. I feel it.
No. Empire Bling. You know,
Look, I rewatched Power. That was just like, that's where I'm at in life. I'm rewatching old shit.
That part.
Yeah. So, we need better TV. But we just, you know, like you said, the creators going to figure it out. And then it'll be out for us. So, and I know the money people looking for people to invest in like yourself, because they need some real artists to put their money in right now, where they not only successful, but they're being safe and they know that they can profit. Because right now, like you said, the hunger for comedy entertainment is 20 times deeper than the hunger for real estate. You know, and so it's just finding quality people. Because, and here's the thing, Netflix, HBO Max, all of them, they keep putting shit out. But
yeah,
I barely get recommended a show by anybody I know from fucking New York, Baltimore, DC, Cincinnati, Detroit, Chicago, Miami, Atlanta, to the West Coast in LA, San Diego, Sacramento, Oakland, Vegas. Nobody's recommending new shit. So I'm reading the newspapers, they're like, oh, HBO Max coming out with 20 new movies and Netflix a new thing every week. I'm like, okay, when is it going to be entertaining where my friends who maybe even watching it will actually enjoy it and then say, hey, bruh, you need to watch this. That's how hip hop grew. That's how anything great grew. Yeah. People be like, yo, this person is great. Right, that's why I had to have you on the show. I know you're already way bigger than the Jazzy Comedy Show, but I'm like, look, for my 45 fans, I need even them to know who you are. You know what I'm saying? And that's how the fucking networks need to be. They need to be like, look, we got 10 million people who could potentially be watching our stuff, but 99% of our shit's old or boring. Where's the magic? And if they're not finding people like you, Miss Jonetta Queen, come on, bro. They gonna keep producing people who not funny, and that shit's just gonna be rolling the dice for maybe you might get something. Maybe you might get something. And I would argue, tap into your old school rules, white people that run the networks of Hollywood and America. Use black people for entertainment. Just pay us. We're gladly happy to be used for entertainment. Just write that check. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing wrong with us entertaining all of you when you write the check.
Period.
All right, y'all. I'm done ratting. Y'all know how I get. And when I talk to smart, beautiful people, I got to try to prove I'm smart at the end of every show so that, you know, I get a little respect. Love hilarious. Y'all. Here it is. What are we going to play? We're going to play a little bit of Endless. Nope. We're going to play All in the Picture by Currency and Fuse on the Spring Clean album 2020. Here we go. If y'all don't know what's in the picture, open up your eyes, as Jonae has said, and enlighten us through these skies. All right, I'm not trying to rap to y'all. Peace.
Yeah. Wanna say free C style before we go any further? Wanna turn me up a little bit? Yeah. Inside. Last night, niggas took all the pictures. Pulled up and left with all the hoes. This morning I woke up and counted up a million. This morning I woke up and I sent your bitch home. Paper and pistols, drugs and bitches, snakes and real niggas, all in the picture. Paper and pistols, drugs and bitches, snakes and real niggas, all in the picture. Still got my first Bentley. Been on since the beginning. Every piece that I've been getting only make me want more. $1,000 plate dinners, real businessmen, banquets and benefits, $1 million signatures and shitty penmanship. Oh, I was meant for this, I was designed to get it. Came off of the port sick with it. Older homies made me iller, can't get much realer. Lyrical serial killer, from far away you feel it. Don't let that paper steal you, my nigga. Paper and pistols, drugs and bitches, snakes and real niggas, all in the picture. Paper and pistols, drugs and bitches, snakes and real niggas, all in the picture. Who let them in here? Paper and pistols, drugs and bitches, snakes and real niggas, all in the picture. Who had them sent here? Paper and pistols, drugs and bitches, snakes and real niggas, all in the picture. They hired killers.
Y'all know what it is. Hit the Jazzy Comedy Show. We don't care if you big or you tall, you little or you small. We don't care if you, who you fucking or who you smashing. As long as you keeping it jazzy, keeping it classy, we jazzing with you. Want you jazz with us. Y'all remember to check out Jonae the Queen, her Instagram. Check out Card Therapy Series, her digital series on, I want to say, cardtherapyseries.com. Yeah, so y'all check her out. Y'all check out my hilarious, beautiful queen sister running Van Nuys, the Valley, representing LA, holding it down. Y'all need to support black women, support black comedians. Hold yourself down by loving yourself. Y'all see how beautiful this woman love herself. Y'all see how confident she is without being cocky. If y'all listen to my other shows, y'all just heard that message. Being confident without being cocky. Being confident is like where you prove what you can do. Cocky is like, oh, I'm so good, I ain't even gonna prove it. Nah, she prove herself every day, and she's greater than the tests that come her way. And that's what we need to be like all the time. So I appreciate you, Miss Jonae the Queen, for your inspiration, for your love, for your power that you've shared with us. And I hope that somebody tree just got a little brighter and bigger because of this show, because of your light, and because of your love. Y'all listening to Currency Infused, All in the Picture. Recognize what he's saying. Everything come in the picture, but it's not about what's in the picture. It's how you conquer your motherfucking game. Jazzy Comedy Show, bitch. We out.